When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode 133 of the Talking Hockey Podcast. So me, Martin, and Eric here. I started and I realized that Eric didn't actually say what the topics were. So what are the topics, Eric? What did you come up with today?
Okay, well, now you're putting me on the spot. I wanted to discuss what we wanted to talk about, but all right. I guess we can start off with basically the Bo Horvat contract. Start out there. Then there's some news across the NHL. Jake Virtanen and his teammates hating him. There's a whole bunch of like stuff like that kind of going all around right now. So
we can talk about the really exciting All-Star game.
Oh yeah, that none of us.
Oh yeah, that was super exciting.
Did any of us watch the All-Star weekend?
I watched a highlight of McDavid versus Kadri shooting, which was kind of interesting.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
I didn't watch anything. I was at the gym at one point while one of the games were playing.
To be fair,
and that's it.
I was at dinner at a restaurant with a TV, and that's where I watched it. So yeah, I wouldn't have watched exactly. It unless I was
the only part of the All-Star game I watched was me at the gym in between sets, and I'm just okay. And there's nothing to stare at except either my phone or the TV.
Hey.
And for 50% of the time, I stared at the TV, and the other 50%, I was just like, "This is really, really boring. I'm gonna look at my."
You got to be careful where you're staring at the gym these days. That's all I'm saying. You see those TikToks out there?
Know who I like?
In those, yeah,
the Joey Swall.
Yeah, I love Joey Swole videos, man. He calls out people for posting shit like that.
It's like a video of the guy just like staring at himself in the mirror. Someone walks in front and it's just like, oh, canceled.
Yeah, relax, it's awesome. I love Joey. He's hilarious.
Yeah, how do you feel about the shit out of them?
How do you feel about cameras in the gym?
I'm okay with it.
I really
largely
don't care.
Speaking, yeah. I don't really care, but like I get why
some people care.
Don't like them, because then it like just you can just cut out a 5-second clip of you pretend like looking creepy even though you weren't doing anything wrong.
Yeah,
it's just like so easy.
Yeah, it's just like you're like the amount of times I've like zoned out at the gym and I'm just staring in one direction, and it could be anyone. It could be a random guy that might think I'm staring, but I'm just like zoned out, like I'm not paying attention to anything. And they're just in my direction.
Most awkward thing is making eye contact at the gym.
Yeah, that's the worst.
It's just so like
when you directly make eye contact with the person. Yeah, that's
just uncomfortable. Yeah. Okay. What are topics?
Oh, okay. So there's a bunch of contracts. Bo Horvat. There's the Dylan Cousins contract, which is pretty big. There was a bunch, and then because of these contracts, a bunch of talks came up about the differences between the NBA and the NHL and the MLB, and we can briefly talk about that. I think we talked enough about like that kind of stuff in the past. I don't want to like
go into it too hard. I think we just talked about that last week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was we mainly focused on the stuff around like how players get traded and stuff, so we didn't focus too much on it. Then there were some like random stats that I wanted to talk about that I saw about the Oilers, like on and off with McDavid and Dreisaitl and a few others. It's just we're gonna go hit by hit. I don't think we have like a overwhelming topic to talk about today like some of the past weeks.
Yeah.
Do we want to start with actually the All-Star game? A lot of people had different ideas that they were sharing on how to improve the All-Star game. Do we want to talk that, yes or no?
Yes, definitely. But, like, I think that they you got to look at improvements because, again, for like the fourth year in a row, I didn't even know it was. I think we made the joke last week. I was like, "You don't see All-Star game this weekend," and you had no idea last week when I brought it up.
And yeah, I didn't even know. Yeah,
the players didn't want to be there. Like Kaprizov, the big story coming into it, or after the was it the skills competition? I think it was on the Friday. Kaprizov participated in none of it, and his entire team was in like Mexico, right?
Yeah, everyone was having a good time off in the Caribbean or in Mexico just like, on the beach, and then he's just like, ugh.
It wasn't even a sellout, right? Like, it was pretty empty. It was like typical Florida crowd for like a regular weekday game.
Yeah, I'm actually pumped because I'm going to Florida and I'm heading to a Panthers game, and I'm going to pay like $20 for a ticket or some stupid stuff.
It's cheaper to fly down there and get a front row ticket.
Are you going to attack the rat?
Attacked.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Hilarious. Okay.
Yeah. I think Dan O'Toole had a really big thread. Sorry to interrupt you, Martin. I was going to say Dan O'Toole had a really big thread around the All-Star game, I think, like during it, talking about how to improve the All-Star weekend for the next event. Mm-hmm. And I thought some of his ideas were pretty interesting. There was a couple people that did different threads. So like Dan O'Toole's was one of them. He talked about like instead of having it in a hockey arena, have it in like the dome instead so that it's you have more space for different events happening at the same time.
So all going on at the same time.
Exactly. So you don't have need like everything going on at once, but you can have like one or two things or like bigger areas to do stuff, right? Like he was talking about like the fastest skater competition. Imagine instead of having it just around the rink, like having it like, you know, a gigantic field for them to skate around or something.
You know what it should be? People are talking about it. It should be like a straightaway. And you know where it should be?
Where?
What's the biggest straightaway rink in existence?
The Rideau Canal?
Yeah.
That you can't even skate on right now?
Well, yeah, that's part of it.
That's climate, just global warming.
climate depending, but like people think that it should be a straightaway because that's where you get the fastest. And the good thing about the canal would be because they were complaining that Makar might have got like hurt from his fall because he fell during the faster skater, which is an issue. And they pad the boards, obviously, which is a good step. But if you fell, like there are slight turns on the canal, but it's like
it's mostly
a
straight,
huge straightaway,
90% straight,
and you would
99% straight
truly see who's like the fastest straight, and you could have people actually race each other too.
I do like the whole like being able to like turn,
yes, though, which is important because
like
it shows the
factor, exactly.
Yeah, it shows their
edge arguably work takes
their
way more edge work and footwork to
for sure
throw, do with the turns, right? Because straight was just a lot of power versus better edge work, better footwork.
But you would see them get top speed. Like McDavid would get to his top speed quicker, right? If he's just allowed to go straight.
Yeah, for sure.
And he knows he doesn't have to turn too. Like the biggest thing is they're preparing for a turn, so they're slowing down.
And I still think they need like an average human being to go into that too, just to compare. Just like three guys go at the same time, just straight, and then just have McDavid, McKinnon, and like some fucking Joe Schmoke, or like go get like an OHL player or something, like someone that knows how to skate.
McDavid, McKinnon,
yeah,
and
a skater.
And Luke West.
Exactly, and just watch Luke complete like 5 meters by the time they've been 100.
So, what was I gonna fuck?
Oh god!
But the thing is, like AHL, like in the AHL All-Star Game, like there are guys there who complete it faster than the NHL guys.
Those guys are competing harder because it's actually like, I feel like NHL, not GMs, but like scouts are there, like, because there's young players there to watch,
generally,
right? So they're actually
also
competing.
They probably also get a little bit of a prize if they win, you know?
That's the biggest thing.
Probably in the AHL, they get more, it's more valuable to them. Because I think in the NHL, if they won the skill, I think you got like $50,000, don't quote me on that. I think if you won the
like
All-Star game. If you won the All-Star game, you get like
it's an expensive dinner for these guys.
Just like a
pot. Yeah, and they go to a club for them. Like it's
Agreed.
Especially the guys like, they bring, NHL right?
isn't the end goal for those guys.
Yeah.
Whereas they've already hit the end goal for NHL players. They don't need to show off. They've already made it. Whereas the AHL guys, you know, if we see some guy hit a 105-mile-an-hour slap shot, you know, everyone pays attention, sort of. Right.
It's definitely lost its charm. It's boring to watch. Like, any All-Star game, I'll be honest, is pretty boring. Like, did you watch the NFL equivalent of the Pro Bowl? It was like...
Yeah, the NBA All-Star game is really boring, too. Like, none of them are trying. It's just three-point and dunk contest, basically, back-to-back.
The only one that's kind of like a legitimate game was the MLB All-Star game.
Yeah.
It used to be...
But doesn't that mean something? Because
it used to mean something. They got rid of it because it didn't really make sense, but in the World Series, the home team, home field advantage would go to...
It does
make sense because they have the league
that won.
Yeah, because they have two different leagues still.
Well,
right?
It's all okay. Baseball's changed totally, right? So it used to be different. The National League, for example, you would have the pitchers used to hit, right?
Yeah.
You would have no designated hitter. In the American League, they did. So the leagues were different.
They did get rid of the rules,
but they got rid of it. So yeah, they made it pretty streamlined. And starting next year, actually. It's similar to like the NHL schedule where you play every team at least once.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that you used to never play teams in like the National League. If the Blue Jays never played, very rarely played, you know, the Dodgers, for example. I think it was like once every 5 years they would play the Dodgers, right?
No.
Los Angeles Dodgers who are in the NL. Now it's different that you play every team once at least.
So why not NHL version is if they did it by conference, said they did it by just conference, the winning team for the Eastern or one of the conferences, they get home advantage in the cup final.
I think that's just too, it doesn't make
sense.
But
then it makes the regular season mean less because the whole point of the regular season is to finish first.
Slightly less. And
that's the most important series of the whole playoffs.
Get them to try in the All-Star game. Fuck it.
The thing is that in the MLB, it mattered way more.
Because they can't pay them like enough for it to be worth it to the NHL. Like, there's no amount of money. The NHL can't just throw money at the All-Star game to get these guys to try more. Because you throw more money at them, they're just going to be like, yeah, okay, so instead of $50,000, I'm going to get, let's say $100,000, right? Is that worth them being injured the rest of the year? No, they lose out more than what they care about. There's no amount of money the NHL is going to give them that'll be worth it to them. At the same time, is it being worth it to the NHL to pay them that amount of money? Like, you can't give each player $1 million to compete in the All-Star game, right? And then even if you give them more money, that doesn't mean they try more. That just means that they show up. And then they, you know, or maybe you pay them more to win at the game or something like that. But
hockey is tough. Like, football tried to resolve their issues because, of course, they're like similar to hockey because they don't want to get hurt during the game.
The thing is, if you have hitting, they switched
to flag. And
they did flag football. But the thing is that the NFL has their Pro Bowl after the season's over.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there were players on the Kansas City Chiefs and Philadelphia Eagles who made the Pro Bowl, like the team, but they're not playing because they're in the Super Bowl. So the Pro Bowl then just becomes all the teams that are out.
Why does the NHL do it middle of the year?
I think it's for a break. Because like NFL has a bye week. You know, NFL has a bye week built into their schedules, right? Every team gets a week off.
They also only play once a week, so...
But it's pretty. I mean, it's in that week there are so many injuries, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there's always injuries.
So the NHL, like the Leafs haven't played since the Leafs don't play till Friday.
Because the NHL's also added a bye week, so they their bye week.
So this
at
is
the
what it is.
Point. Yeah.
So I think it's for like a mid-season break, unless the NHL adds in a bye
but
week.
They just had Christmas break, like,
and
they
also
were
for though
3 days then, weren't they?
Arden, also though they have the IIHF championship. After the season, anyway, probably this around the time you would have the All-Star season All-Star game, and also probably the players wouldn't want it. It's all about the players, and I don't
get
think
rid
it,
of the All-Star. Bring back that Canada U.S. tournament. What was that thing called? The World Championship or whatever?
World Cup.
Yeah, something like that.
Bring back the World Cup. That's way more
interesting. You have to have something.
Ty
more...
hates Team North America, so.
Yeah. Ty's it.
Yeah, I hate
Team
it.
Team North it's America just... would be so much fun. Like, you'd have, like, Jack Hughes.
Oh, yeah,
like...
okay. Better than. Well, Jack Hughes would make Team USA right now, so you're watering down Team USA and as a result.
Fine, who cares? Do you see I me giving a shit? No.
Connor Bedard could make this.
Connor Bedard be on Team North America.
Play with Jack
like,
Hughes. It would be
like
fun.
What Matthews did before his or right in at his draft. There's a whole Listen. Bunch of like cool
but then,
shit. That
but then to, you have like the players thinking like Tavares got hurt in the last one and missed some of the season that year. Because didn't he get hurt that year? In the
I don't think it was.
I think it was the Olympics.
Yeah, so that was the Olympics.
It was in the 2014 Olympics. He had like a torn.
Didn't someone
ACL.
Get hurt? Someone got hurt in that pre-tournament.
Players
the
try more when it's they're playing for their country.
For sure.
That's just like a like the you're never gonna get them to care about the All-Star game as much as they will when they're playing for Team Canada or Team.
So get rid of the All-Star game. Just give them a fucking week off.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't
the
even
young
seem
guys
fun.
They want to show up. They want to like you know you build the Team North America. Those guys they want to show up. The old guys like it's just like ego.
I don't
you know,
think
there's no the, ego at the All-Star game.
I don't think the players enjoy it. Like from a fan perspective, was it even enjoyable? No. The thing,
no,
okay,
it
so,
was so
the,
fun.
The
that,
funniest
that
thing...
World Cup was by far.
No, no,
like,
no. I was talking about the All-Star game.
Fun. Oh, okay, sorry. I was talking about the World Cup. Cup. That was like the most fun thing the NHL's done, or whatever.
I like
that they've done in like the last like 7, 8, or one.
And they got rid of it right away.
7 years.
It was awesome.
They just can't. They just can't plan another one.
Well, yeah.
They, but it was like by far like the
Russia
most entertaining.
Issues, but yeah.
Other than the World Cup, it was like the second most and the Stanley Cup. That it was the most entertaining thing.
Did
I've
you
seen.
See the thread Luke sent us about the hate Ovechkin guy? Oh my god!
Oh yeah, Hasek was going off.
Stupid man.
Hasek
it's
was
a
going
low
off.
Kid.
Send him to the front lines. What's he doing on the
Ovechkin's
on the?
Ovechkin's appeared in the most All-Star games of any player currently. And it's
that
like, you got to celebrate him for doing that.
But Ovechkin
you're not celebrating because he's Russian.
He's best friends with Vlad.
Yeah, wow. His family also lives there, so...
Yeah. Let's not get into
it's
all the Russian
dangerous situation.
Okay, let's continue with this list. So the second thing Dan O'Toole said after having it in the dome...
so you're talking about in Toronto specifically. By the dome, he means like the Rogers Center where
the
Jays
the Rogers,
play. Just to clarify,
yeah, where the Jays play. So huge baseball field, you know, plenty of room for shit to go down.
It's like 50,000.
He said Friday night is for the kids, so Nickelodeon runs it. Don't make the players come up with skits. Let the pros handle it. I actually like that idea because, to be fair, not most of the NHL players are not funny. And when you see them doing some of the shit that they do, like the little skits, like it really isn't that entertaining. I'm guessing it's just the players coming up with it. It's like, I don't understand why they don't have like professionals coming. It's like how, you know, when the White House does their correspondence dinner and they have a comedian write the president's jokes, or when they do like a celebrity roasts, they have comedians come in and actually make the jokes for some of the celebrities and stuff like that, right? Like that's what other like ideas like
professional organizations
yeah,
people
other
do.
Professional organizations do that. So yeah. I don't understand why the NHL doesn't that was actually a great point. When he said that, I was just like immediately, I was just like there's so many examples of that happening across everywhere else, but the NHL doesn't do it. And I get you want to show off your players' personalities or whatever, but you can let
they
can collaborate
them.
And they can collaborate.
But there was that I sent that funny commercial, like it was actually like an entertaining commercial of
yeah,
the,
but there,
all the All-Stars in the hotel room.
A comedian came up with that for sure.
They've never done anything since, but like
yeah. And I bet a comedian or like someone that was a professional came in and did that. That's what I'm saying.
But the thing is that it's not NHL specific for this. Like every league's All-Star game sucks.
Yes. You're 100% right. But there are things that are obvious that you can do to improve it. That's
the only entertaining one is the MLS because the MLS has an All-Star team play like a top team from Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one is pretty.
That's always fun. Yeah.
Good. Or...
I always remember, like, one of my favorite memories as a kid was when Real Madrid came to Toronto and played Toronto FC in a game.
Yeah.
And we got really good tickets. Like, I was, like, 7, 8 rows up. And it was awesome.
They probably played like
I was watching Kaká. I was watching like all these guys I never dreamed of like being able to see in person. Anyways.
Okay, that's very tangential.
Yeah. Just a thought. Anyways. Okay, so that was his other one. And then he gave examples of like stuff that they could do, like who can put their equipment on the fastest, or like can you skate on slime, or people getting slime, like all that kind of shit. Winner of each skill event gets a massive prize, a boat, a car, blah, 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 blah. Could do that as well. We talked about that. It's, especially for the, they're not going to try so hard in the games, but the skills competition at least, that gives them some incentive to kind of win it.
Some of them do try. Like McDavid genuinely seemed angry when Kadri beat him in the.
Yeah. I mean, it's pride too, right? Like there's a certain amount of like pride to it. But also some players just take the skills competition as a joke.
Not and, like, seriously at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Which is also fine because sometimes it's funny. Like I remember, who was it? Was it Erik Karlsson or someone that was just completely like just screwing up his event like years? This is years ago. I don't know if anyone's.
Well, I think. I think I remember that. Hilarious. I think it was Karlsson, and I think it was the shooting.
No, the I don't accuracy think it was the shooting. Like he had to like get the puck.
Like, oh, the passing thing.
Yeah, it was like something like that.
I think he missed like a couple because he was trying, and then he was like, "Fuck this! It's I don't care." So he just like, and he finally hit one. Yeah,
exactly. I remember. And then that. He also so the other ones that I thought were pretty interesting were, pond hockey style hockey, so first team to like 10, and then no offsides, no face-offs, like all that kind of stuff. So just
that would be a good one.
Free for all kind of chaos.
Actually, on a pond though too, like a
you can do it on a pond, or you can do you can even really do it anywhere. But like that kind of style of game would be kind of fun also. And that, and then the bring back the draft. He didn't mention that, but that's another thing that I still think it should be doing. It's like pick a captain, and captain drafts their team. Screw East versus or Central versus.
And the draft.
Atlantic versus blah blah blah.
100% bring back the draft. The draft is watchable.
Exactly.
It's fun. It shows personality of the players, and who the fuck cares that someone goes last? Like no one actually gives a shit.
Yeah.
Besides Phil Kessel, but fuck. He won two cups after
and you're
that.
Still
like,
an
what the
all-star.
Hell does he care?
And you're still an all-star. Like, why do you give a shit?
Didn't he get money for getting picked last?
He got a thing, like a car, I think.
And wasn't it the next year Ovi wanted to get picked last?
He wanted to get picked last. Ovi was wasted in that. You ever see the videos of it?
Yes.
He was wasted, and he's like, pick me last. You need a fucking car.
Didn't they get picked last?
No, he got picked last. I think I ended up donating it somewhere to like a.
I don't actually think he got picked last because I remember I didn't watch with sound, but I remember it, and he looks very disappointed because he was picked like they picked him. Like Patrick Kane's like, nah, you're getting picked here.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was the All-Star game. Do you guys want to move on to the two big contracts that were just signed? Bo Horvat.
Yeah, Horvat. We talked about Horvat last week, so let's take it away. I did say that there was a rumored agreed upon contract.
Yep. You did.
It makes no sense. I mean, someone even said it, like, why do these guys sign long-term deals in a place when they've never even played a fucking game there?
Yep. And then he got he did get $8.5 million for 8 years, just guaranteed, you know, signed at a high.
But what I've heard is he could have got more from somewhere else. There was teams offering more.
There was probably teams that would go to 9, I would guess, for sure.
He just didn't do it.
I think but you probably also looked at like, you know, I don't want to like miss out. Like it's.
You want to play in the Islanders for 8 years?
I don't think
he
cares. I don't think he cares. I think he's like,
about winning?
Bag. Yeah. I think he just said he got his bag and that's that.
That's where
maybe
it sucks.
Maybe he didn't want to like.
That's where it kind
of
sucks.
Maybe he didn't want to go on a cold streak for the rest of
also,
the year.
Also, a lot of good teams won't be able to get him in the offseason anyways because none of them have cap space. So his agent might have looked at it and went, okay, these 7 cup contenders for next year. Not saying, you know, he for sure did this, but he could have just easily looked and went, okay, these 5-7 cup contenders, none of them are grabbing you in free agency based off of their current cap space situation.
Okay.
So
if you're Bo Horvat, do you find Lou's comments insulting?
His comments are...
Or do you find them that you're like, fuck you, bud, you signed me for it. I don't give a fuck.
I think you're just like, fuck you, but...
Yeah. You didn't want to release the terms.
Yeah, I got the bag.
You're talking about the guy who... I don't know why Lou said that, because he's the guy who signed Kovalchuk to that 17-year illegal contract, right?
But I think that's also why he said it, because it's supposed to be kind of like a joke.
Literally said, it's too long and too much and it's too much money.
Yeah.
it seems sarcastic when he said it, but like...
Yeah, it was sarcastic. I've heard him... Like, I've heard the audio, and it's...
And then he said, and then he said, you want the truth.
Oh, man. It is too long and way too much money.
He's right. Lou is right, but he signed up to it. So
you're an idiot, Lou. Like, you're telling us you're an idiot.
So
he's
here's
right.
The thing.
But also, Lou hates giving out those types of contracts in general. And to a lot of players, that contract would be worth it. It's just Bo Horvat isn't one of them, too.
So. Here's the Islanders draft picks, okay? So for their last first round picks since 2020. So that 2020's first round pick was traded for Pageau. 2021's was traded for Palmieri. 2022's was traded for Romanov, and 2023 was traded for Horvat. The second round, they still have their 2023 second. They drafted last year they drafted 65th overall Kalle Odelius. Ratty was just traded. Was drafted in 2021, was traded for Horvat, and then they traded the 2020 pick for Pageau.
Islanders have no future.
So the last 4 years, the highest pick in the draft is 65th that they still have with them.
Yeah, and the Islanders haven't been good drafters regardless. So it's not like they were getting extreme value and, okay, let's trade away these top picks. They have nothing in their future coming. It's going to be really unfortunate for Islanders fans.
And they're old. Old, like so old.
Yeah.
Are they the oldest average team?
I think Pittsburgh is, but I think the Islanders are top three.
But at least Pittsburgh's won cups recently. Like Islanders have
won
nothing
cups
to show
and
for
older guys. Their older guys are still elite.
Yes.
Like Crosby's on pace for 100 points this year now. Like actually, and speaking of that, actually, I want to get into this. There's 15 players right now that are on 100 point pace. How crazy is that? They're like literally like 6-7 years ago, you know, the guy that won the Art Ross was getting like 80 points.
Jamie Benn in 2015 had 83 points or something.
Exactly.
Super
like
good
just
for the
over
NHL.
A point per game.
That's so, really good for the NHL.
And the 15 players are McDavid, Draisaitl, Kucherov, Pasternak, Tkachuk, Tage Thompson, still on 100 point pace, Jack Hughes, Jason Robertson, Erik Karlsson, by the way, 69 points on the season
right
now.
Martin must love that.
Mikko Rantanen, Kaprizov, Zach Hyman on 100 point pace, Crosby, Pettersson, and McKinnon.
When Hyman's playing with guys literally going to break recent records. Points like
well it's sense. So funny looking at the Oilers because it's just McDavid and Draisaitl just in another stratosphere in terms of points and then Zach Hyman and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins who isn't on a 100 point pace but he's on like a 90 something point pace both just like right behind because they're playing with those two other guys
and they're like friggin power play like all their points are from the power play
all on the power play it's quite absurd, but it's good time to be a fan in the NHL right now, at least in terms of, you know, if you're a fan of these kind of these star players because they're freaking killing it. Like the fact that people were winning the Art Ross with like 82 83 points just a couple years ago was absurd. Like it was like who was in the Jamie Benn year? Was it between Tavares and Jamie Benn for the Art Ross? I'm pretty sure. And Tavares was like at 81 points. Jimmy Benn got 83. There was 1 year Voracek was up there too and like almost won it. I'm not sure if that was that same year or not again with like 80 points. And now it's just like 15 guys are on pace for 100 points all of a sudden. And some people on pace for like 160 points, aka McDavid.
It's pretty nuts. And you have multiple... The cool thing is you have multiple defensemen at point per game paces, which you had last year too.
Like, when's the last time we saw a defenseman on pace for 100 points?
Carlson.
Mike Green had like 30 goals one year.
Carlson had 82 assists or something.
John Carlson had led the league in assists one year.
He literally had like a assist a game or something.
Yeah.
And
I think he ended up with like 92, 93 points because he had like 10 goals, 12 goals, something like that. Yeah. And just a shit ton of assists.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing seeing Erik Karlsson on a 100-point pace. Like, I love it.
And he'll probably finish the year in San Jose because their contracts suck. But we talked about that last
year. Yeah, we talked about that.
So they also, I think, are asking for a lot, especially for retention.
Oh, but you have to. Like, you want value out of him.
Yeah. I mean, you will get value out of him at $8 million, too, theoretically.
Yes.
Yeah. But they still only retain $3 million. $3.5 million
for 4 years. But San Jose is going to be bad for 4 years, so it still makes sense. But
yeah,
we'll see if he gets traded. I hope he gets traded. It would be really good for the NHL if he gets traded.
There's just some like really crazy names in like the 100 point territory this year. Like Jack Hughes, 21 years old, at 100 point pace right now, and he's leading the league in even strength goals too with 29.
Yeah, so he is.
That's pretty incredible. Crosby's turning back the years, 100-point pace. I think he's like 10th in the NHL or something like that, and even strength goals, somewhere around there. Obviously, Tage Thompson blowing up is just kind of crazy overall. Erik Karlsson, obviously a defenseman. Jason Robertson, I mean, he was on that kind of trajectory. But Zach Hyman blowing up this year to 100 points. Like, there's some weird-ass names in this list from this year.
And, like, that pace... Like, Marner's not very far off.
There's a bunch of guys that aren't very far off.
Like, they could probably hit it.
Okay, I want to hear your guys' opinions, because we're going to look back at this at the end of the year. How many players are going to end up over 100-point pace by the end of the season? And I'm going to give an over-under of 12.5. Right now, there's 15. Actually, you know what? I'll give the over-under at 11.5.
Whoa.
That's a lot. Like,
Over-under 11.5. You're taking the over. So you're going for 15, at least 12 players. At least minimum 12 players are going to hit 100 points. Okay, so Martin's on the over on that. Ty?
I say under.
Which one's paying better?
No, that's why it's an over-under. That's why it's the over-under, man. There's nothing that pays more or less. Even odds, you gotta pick and choose.
No, over, for sure.
Going over? I think I'm gonna go under. I think there's some guys that are gonna slow down, they're gonna get rest for the playoffs, there's gonna be a bunch of that stuff going on, maybe a couple injuries. So I'm going under.
A bunch of these guys can't rest. Like McDavid, Dreisaitl can't get rest.
True. Kucherov can get rest. Pasternak can get rest.
Tkachuk cannot get rest. Karlsson, depending where he gets traded, if he gets traded, can't get rest. Thompson can't get rest. Hughes can't get rest. Robertson can't get rest. Hopkins can't get rest. Rantanen can't get rest because Colorado is not a good place. Crosby can't get rest. Cap can't get rest. Marner can't
get rest.
Well,
that's now. You know, if there's three Marner games left rest. And they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know.
I know, but like, they don't rest very much either, though. But, and it's placement, too. Like, I don't know.
Placement does matter, for sure.
Minnesota's situation is. Like, obviously, Toronto and Tampa Bay, it's predetermined, which is another. Maybe we could talk about topic switching the play. How Crosby said talked about wanting to switch the playoff format.
Yeah, he did. He did say he wanted to go back to 1-8,
and that might be the biggest pusher, which is good. Players like him need to say shit like that because that happens in the NBA all the time, and
not
shit
gonna
happen.
Never gonna happen.
To switch
never
back,
never gonna happen. Why never not? Gonna happen. Cause
why not?
Freaking what's his name just likes it too much, man.
Gary, why is he like
Gary's this? Just, I don't know, but he does. He loves it, and he's
does,
not going to
do
let
people
it go.
Know for a fact that he actually likes it? Because he switched it to this, And he's switched it before too, has he? Like, we've gone through a couple different switches with Bettman, have we not?
A couple of
formats?
Playoffs?
Yeah.
Was
it always one to eight?
They changed it. So it used to be prior to them, I guess, shifting the divisions to how they are. I think like prior to what, 2017, 2016, 2015, they changed the divisions in anticipation for Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So it used to be just Eastern and Western Conference. Fuck, how did it go? I think it was like, it was 1v8, the top ranked seed versus 8-7 in the conference, right? But I think the top three seeds were the teams in each division, if that makes sense.
So one of the coolest ways I've heard presented as a, I don't know how close it is to being an option, but one of the coolest ways I've heard presented would be come first, and out of all the playoff teams, you get to choose your.
I like that.
Your yeah. Your opponent, West Conference, whatever conference, doesn't
you
matter.
You can even keep it Eastern and Western if you wanted to. Like, it'd be you less
could,
cool.
But it'd be less cool if you're going full bore. You gotta go full bore that way. Like, you yeah. gotta make it as cool.
And it'd
as
be
possible
fun because it'd also just be so embarrassing.
And it would. And it would make it so interesting because there would be so much strategy, and it would also make the regular season matter. Because right now, the regular season is over, especially for the Atlantic. Like, Toronto can't yeah. catch Boston unless Boston died. And Tampa Bay and Toronto, it really doesn't matter who finishes above. Like,
well, this is why you could make it matter. You should have it so that each team picks who they want to play, and you just go down the list.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first four pick the last four, basically. Yeah. So you don't have only one team do it. You have the first team do it.
Oh,
they
yeah,
pick
exactly.
Who,
no, that's
place,
yeah,
and
that,
then,
that's
yeah.
that's the thing. Like, you oh, would okay, have like the meant. First okay. the first eight pick, which well, like whoever picks,
yeah,
whoever gets a chance to pick picks, and then if they're not already picked, like the first place yeah. team could pick the second best team technically in the first yeah. round.
They wouldn't.
It's all up to them. They wouldn't, yeah. more than likely, but that would be the coolest way.
Yeah,
and it would make the regular season so important. It would make for so much more.
Agreed. Yeah.
Competition throughout the entire year.
Hockey people though will hate that. Like traditional, like the. They'll hate that idea. I know it. I just inherently know it. They'll
I
just
think
like
it needs
feel
to be
like
pitched.
It's disrespectful.
I think someone needs to pitch
or
it.
It's wrong or it's like
or it
sacrilege
needs to be
or something.
Like it needs to be
know.
Talked about more.
I think that'd
and
be
more
so
more.
Fun. That'd be so fun. You'd have draft night. You just create multiple yeah, different draft nights. We have the regular draft. We have the draft for the All-Star game, and we have the draft for.
That's the other thing. It creates a whole another night of watchable content.
Yep.
And but I think talking. You would just end up having the
a
best
sponsored
team, the worst team and you know the second best team.
I don't think so.
I don't think they would 100% guaranteed pick
no.
the last.
Cuz like
last
there's
team.
Very often not a huge difference between in talent level mm-hmm. between the worst and the second worst and the third worst or the fourth
and
worst.
And then
so you really be picking based off of like
who you play which, well against
who you match up against
who you match best. Against
or you're picking like that and location based. You want the closest teams you can travel less so that you're more yeah. fresh for the next round. There's all that yeah. stuff. And then you have entire shows. You have a week of shows dedicated to everyone just discussing who each team is
going to
pick. Because they're just like,
exactly.
oh, who should,
it's so
you know,
much content. It's just pure yeah. content.
Who should Boston pick right now? Okay, well, you know, strategy wise, you know, they match up best against these teams because, you know, these teams use this style, blah, 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 blah.
And all year, it's content because it's like, it matters who the hell comes first and who's like where you yeah. are.
Agreed.
It's, I don't know.
Well,
I like
I think
it.
1 versus 16 just makes more sense. Even Crosby said it.
That would be better.
Right
than what they're currently doing.
I like the draft idea better.
But I guess
anything.
That
the
they
draft
want
by far the best.
But do you think anyone's gonna care about Boston playing? I don't know, fucking who's the worst team in the West right now, because you probably choose one of those wild card teams, right?
Yeah.
Fucking,
like, who is it? Calgary, Edmonton. Right now, yeah. Or, yeah, whatever. But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's always teams that finish lower than they should have, and they're on a tear, and maybe you're like, I don't want to play them, you know? Like, you know, St. Louis on their gigantic run not last year, when they won the cup, right? You could, the team that played them, they could have just been like, oh, I'm going to opt not to and pick someone else because these guys are on a tear. Like, there's all those situational things where I think it would impact stuff pretty substantially. It'd be fun. I think it would be really fun. And then you'd have content. Like, we're sitting here talking about freaking, like, Bo Horvat's contract. Like, you know. We're running out of content right now.
There's no content because the battles are decided. Like, Toronto's going to play Tampa. It's just who's going to be ahead of who. Boston's going to play, like, Buffalo or
whoever the last the Capitals. Team, whoever's that last team that squeezes.
And they're going to crush them more than likely. And the other thing that it creates with, like, the choosing is, did you make the right choice? Like, if you lose in the first round, you're more to blame at that point because it's like you fucking chose.
And you
them.
Can choose, and you can choose based off of multiple things. Do you want to solely choose based off of who you might think is the easiest, or do you think choose? You know, I'm gonna look a little bit at the ratings here, and you know, I'm gonna try to make a little bit more money for the team by.
Fair enough. Yeah, you could do that too. Like, the owner gets involved on the situation.
Exactly. There's all that, like, stuff that you can consider. You know, like, the new team in the league gets in and they're like, you know, are they going to play, like, freaking Calgary or, like, that, you know, nobody's going to care about? Or do they play the New York Rangers so that they can get, you know, a shit ton more engagement and press and all
to
this stuff?
To not consider it,
like, there's all that stuff.
Would be silly because of the content it creates. Option.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, you could have a sponsored night, like, the draft sponsored by Allstate or whatever, like,
exactly. Like, you get sponsorship, you get talked about. It's
and there'd be bet, right? Like, it gets into betting at that point too. Like, you'd have so much betting, like, who's the first place team gonna pick? Like, there'd be bets on it,
and you, like, have to care the entire season because you don't want to let just one team go above you because they get to pick before you, and that influences your pick, and I think Ty hates this idea, but
Ty's not talking too much.
Listen, I think that it just makes random matchups that I don't think the NHL wants right away. I mean, they say it's all about the rivalries. I don't think it makes sense to have
1-16 already ignores all the rivalries anyway.
Right, so I think it just should be 1-8 in each conference.
That's more boring.
The rivalries has already, it's proven to fail. It's been we've been on this system for 4 or 5 years, and it hasn't created new rivalries.
Since 2014, actually.
Rivalries are dead. That's even worse, man.
And
that's,
it's
like,
so stupid.
Years.
Like, I mean, yeah, you have to beat the best, but let's say you are the Leafs right now, right? You are locked into that second place. Pretty much, or third place, Tampa.
What
and you're
we're saying,
Tampa,
dude.
And Tampa is, you know, also a top five team in the league so far. And then the second round, you win, you come out of there, you win, and you got to play the best team in the league, Boston. And they're like the top three of the top five teams are in the same division. And they're going to play each other in the first two rounds.
And that's, and this, the Atlantic being the way it is and has been for the past, how long is the Atlantic?
Six years?
The Atlantic's been the best for a long time.
Years now.
And it's shown the fault of this system, which was pretty evident probably before this system was created. And I don't know, man. I think it's...
If you were Toronto right now, 70 points, you would be in first place in the West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comfortably, if you're in the Pacific Division, you would comfortably be in first place. The next best team is Golden Knights at 64 points. The Leafs have 70.
Yeah, and the Golden Knights just had a huge loss with Mark Stone and everything. They're going to be falling off a bit.
And
Toronto would have fourth pick, fourth or third pick, if we did my my way of
they probably end up choosing like, you know, like
they
for
get
the example,
a good choice.
Yeah, they get a good and like for example, you
and
know, like,
walk the
Oilers
team,
might finish low in the regular season, but there's very few playoff
no
teams that want to. Nobody's choosing to go against McDavid and
exactly.
Dreisaitl.
It'd be so interesting because you'd also get teams like someone.
Well,
like if the Islanders snuck in, no one would choose the Islanders because they have a sick goalie.
Let me ask you this question. What happens in the next round then? Do you do it again?
No.
You could.
No, you reseed. You'd have to reseed.
Or you could do it. You could do both. Doesn't matter. Another draft night. Draft night number two.
See, that's getting too much. No, I think you'd have to reseed based on the current teams, the teams left and their position. Where they were
that's
in the standings.
To do too.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm all about the content, you know?
Why not just
I want
it
them
the
to
beginning.
Pick each time.
I mean, looking at it though, if they did have 1-8 in the this is actually pretty funny. If they did have 1-8 in the Eastern Conference, the Leafs would still play Tampa, believe it or not. But I just showed you the top five teams in the league are in the East.
Okay,
it's ridiculous.
But listen to this. Boston, who's going to win, more than likely win the league unless something detrimental happens, would they choose the last place team to make the playoffs?
Probably would. They would probably choose, who are we looking at here? Let's go to the West because that's a lot weaker. You got the...
yeah, like they'd probably almost definitely choose a team from the West. Like
I mean,
almost
you got
definitely.
The Avalanche. It would be the Avalanche and the Oilers.
That's the thing. It's good teams.
I
think they would choose a better team. They would probably choose a team from the East.
They would choose the Capitals or the Penguins.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say Capitals, Penguins, Jets, Rangers. Actually, not Rangers.
The Rangers I wouldn't choose. Rangers wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would. Let's say
or even the Panthers. I'd choose the Panthers.
They're not. Panthers aren't in it, though.
Well, they have like a 50% chance of making it.
Let's say the Sabres sneak in because the Sabres have a lot less games played than the Panthers, right? Sabres are at 50 games.
Sabres
sneak in.
Sabres have a less likely chance. Yeah,
Eric, then you get into your point about the owner being in on the pick. What do you pick the Panthers? The Panthers
are nobody's watching that shit.
No one's watching the Panthers.
If you're Boston, you don't need to draw.
Yeah, you're walking.
I'm talking about like if you're
a team. You want a team, you're walking four games out.
Exactly. If you're Carolina, you might consider a little bit more about the team that you're picking, you know?
Maybe you go balls to walls, pick Toronto or something. Like if you have a pick above Toronto.
I mean, if you're going to pick, you're probably going to grab like the Rangers or...
The Rangers is tough because you have Shishorkin.
Yeah,
right?
That's like, way down the rabbit hole here, man. This is never happening. So
it's just fun to think about. It is. And the more you talk about it, the more it becomes an earworm in bigger people's ears.
Well, you know, Gary Bettman is the most smug guy you'll ever meet in as a commissioner in sports, in the sense that he thinks that everything that he's done so far, all the decisions they're making, are perfect.
And
well,
the unfortunate
you know what?
Thing,
he has no reason to not think that because he gets praised and he keeps his freaking job.
He's been there
for
30 years.
Because the owners don't want to replace him because he gave them $1 billion in the past 5 years.
He's the oldest commissioner. He should believe it. Like, it's not even his fault anymore. It's literally like, if you tell a guy he's fucking Jesus, he's going to believe he's fucking Jesus Christ. Like, it's just like, you tell someone they're a god, they're going to believe they're a god eventually.
I mean, all this, not like he had the whole press conference before the Oscar game. The fans love the digital board ads. What the fuck are you talking about? Right?
So I'm saying he doesn't need to listen to anyone. He just hears like, I'm fucking great. I get to keep my job no matter what shitty stuff I do.
Yeah.
Whatever I do, I'm fucking great.
The unfortunate thing too is if Bettman was to like step down, it'd be one of his cronies.
Bill Daly?
It would be one of his cronies that gets the job. It would be stupid. It would be a disciple of
Bettman. You know what would be even more stupid? And I'm kind of switching topics here. But Columbus right now has the highest odds of getting Bedard. How unfortunate would that be?
I mean,
25% chance.
Bedard rip around with Goudreau would be fun.
That would be fun for two or three more years until Goudreau is like 32 and he can't freaking light it up anymore. And then you also realize that you're never going to watch them because they're playing in Columbus anyways.
At
you
least they're see east them lighted for us. Together. Yeah. At least they're east for us. So
yes,
we
get to see them. You can see them a little bit more for sure. Yeah. But I also don't want to see them in Chicago. So, you know, it's...
Yeah, because then Chicago's just getting an immediate turnaround and it's like stupid.
Yeah, I don't like
it's
that.
It's about Peter Mrazek in it. Don't worry. It's not turning around that quickly.
Well, it's like there's a bunch of shitty options because the top five teams are Columbus, and you know Columbus is Columbus. Chicago, bullshit after they just had Taves and Kane for decade and a half. And then it goes to the West Coast, so Anaheim and Arizona. And let's be real, you're not seeing shit from Bedard in those two
I think it's cities. Vancouver
and San Jose
the best
as well.
One for him.
And then number six is Montreal. You'd see a lot. We'd see too much of Bedard.
I think for the NHL standpoint, they probably want him in Vancouver.
They want him in Vancouver and Montreal, for sure. That's where you get the most eyeballs. But also, if they're trying to grow the game the most, and they love their West Coast teams, you know, like they want him on like Arizona. Probably Batman definitely wants
him. Batman wants him in Arizona, like
without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid ass fucking. And... Okay, last topic before we go. You want to talk about Dylan Cousins as well? Big contract. We went down the tangent.
Yeah, you talked about Horvat.
You want to talk about Dylan Cousins a bit?
Yeah. Sorry, we did get distracted from Cousins. So his contract was $7.4 million.
Yeah.
$7.1 million for 7 years. And he's 21 years old, so that takes him up till he's 28. And then he's a free agent, and he signs another gigantic deal, presumably if he
unless
plays
he sucks.
Well.
I don't think he's going to suck, though.
I mean, the players who have scored at a similar like rate to him in his specific seasons are largely superstars. It's like Sagan, Point, Kucherov. All those guys had like very similar point totals to what Cousins has been putting up recently. And a lot of those guys were playing on better teams, too. So,
I don't know how much Sabres hockey you guys watch, but it is fun stuff.
I mean,
they have a lot of offensive talent. Hence why
Sabres are fun. Yeah.
Who's one of their best offensive talents, Ty?
Tage Thompson.
No.
Oh, Darlene. No. Stop
Darlene.
That nonsense.
Tage Thompson is 7 years times $7.1 million. Dylan Cousins is 7 years times $7.1 million.
I mean,
so they put the exact same contract onto steals. Cousins as they did Tage Thompson. Then they locked up Matias Samuelsson for 7 years for $4.2 million.
That was a weird
one.
It's still a really weird one.
But then they also have a bunch of other guys coming up soon, including Dahlin, Owen Power, Quinn, and Paterka as well, who are all probably going to get, again, like 6-7 years deals. So it's going to be interesting. That's basically going to essentially be their future core.
Their second rebuild. And they still got some good pieces. Like Krebs is good.
You mentioned Krebs from there.
Yeah.
They got some pieces. I still think they're missing like something. Like I don't think
their goaltending is a question. They got Craig Anderson in net.
Well, goaltending for sure. and then probably a bunch of like depth pieces as well. Is kind of what they.
They find their second rebuild has gone a lot better than the first.
For now.
I mean, Eichel deal's looking pretty good now. Eichel had a great start to the season, but he hasn't been.
He's fallen off. It's unfortunate.
We were talking about him being like MVP, right?
Stone died.
Stone's dead. Yeah.
Stone died, and Eichel fell off. I mean, he was definitely MVP discussion beforehand.
Like for like the first month of the season, he was MVP discussion.
I feel like next episode we want to probably talk like mid-season-ish awards kind of before. Okay.
Write that down, Eric. Write that down.
It's already down.
I don't believe you.
All right. Any last thoughts for today?
No. I mean, you know.
Hopefully, Bettman listens to this and takes our advice.
The only other thing I can think of is I saw a stat the other day, and it was basically the Oilers have outscored their opposition at 5-on-5, 47-38, so 47 goals for, 38 against, without McDavid and Draisaitl on the ice. Guess what? Guess like the percentage of goals scored with them on the ice. Guess. Do they score 53% of the goals on the ice? 55, 60, 65? What do you think?
60, 70.
70. Okay, so this is at five on five, by the way. 70?
No, 70% of the goals go like goals for percentage.
Yeah, their goals for percentage, exactly. At five and five.
Oh, at 5v5 for just McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah, when they're on the ice. Yeah.
For the Oilers or in general?
For the Oilers. Really low?
For, okay, like 50%. It's got to be like 50%.
Yeah, maybe
okay,
it's so low because they
score. Sorry, I misunderstood. I thought it was like how much.
Yeah. So they've scored 65 goals and allowed 66.
That's for I know. They are fucking power play.
Even strength. At even strength.
Yeah.
Yes. At even strength. While McDavid's on 160 point pace.
But how often are they on power play? Like, how much of a game on
McDavid
average
draws
are they playing?
A bunch of play at power
play. Yeah, exactly.
McDavid like is a huge diver, penalties. Though. I keep saying that, like, he dives so much.
So in soccer, diving is a strategy. Like, it's part of the game. Like, you feel a nick, you fall over, like, and you get the call. And if you don't fall over, you more than likely lose the ball because you're off balance. So, and you don't get the call, even though it might be
the
same
call,
play. So it's just part of a strat. Like, it's, I know hockey people hate that. Of course they do. It is. Yeah. It's greasy.
Martin's got the biggest diver in the league on his team. So
he's on a tear though. And but to low be fair, key, am I becoming a Buffalo fan instead of an Ottawa fan? Because Buffalo's
fun.
Buffalo's freaking hell.
Who would have said 2 years ago that Buffalo would be fun? Like, nobody.
I don't know.
400 people, nobody would have said Buffalo would be fun. None of us.
They had
like,
that whole Eichel thing 2 years ago. It was all greasy. Like, that was bad. Yeah. That's ugly.
True, too.
That was mess.
And then nobody saw a Tage Thompson 100-point season coming, too, to be fair. I don't think anyone in the world
Alex
did.
Tuck point per game, either. Like, even when they made
Tuck,
that trade.
They got Tuck, like, they got Krebs, and they got, I think, a first-round pick, right?
I remember, this was years ago, me, Martin, and our friend Walker were in the house talking hockey, like usual, and I said Alex Tuck was undoubtedly a top six forward, and Martin and Walker roasted me for that take.
Bro, at that point, he was not.
He was a top six forward, and he continues to show it right now. I just want to say I was proven right, just like I was proven. There's two players that I remember us having a long conversation about at the house, and it was Sean Monahan. Me saying he wasn't a number one center, and at me saying Alex Tuck's a top six.
But of course, you remember the times you're right.
Yeah. Of course I do. I'm not, I don't, I fully admit that. I'm just saying, I remember that argument getting real, real passionate. And I just want to say I was right. So, you know, that's where we can end the show.
Walker is doing terrible in fantasy this year.
Oh, yeah?
Real bad.
That's probably the first time ever.
I think he's real busy with work stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, welcome to my fucking life.
Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Push our idea if you like it.
Goodbye.
Tweet it.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.